This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On 610 with Pendergast to rock the show.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show. And T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. And the latest is... It is 5 o'clock, and we are live right here at Twin Peaks having a good time. Twin Peaks, appreciate you. Michaela and many others will take care of you here, as they have done a great job, as always, here. But we're at the Kirby location right here off Kirby. Come on out. Hang out with us. And listen, there's no better place to be. You're going to have the TVs rolling all night long because we're just getting started, man. This is that great day in the sports calendar where get your ass to a bar, get your ass somewhere where there's a bunch of TVs that have everything you need, and they will have a game on every single, any game you need, you will be able to find it on two or three of them here at 10 Twin Peaks. You can go outside. You're right. I'm surprised more people ain't. I walked over there and
great
I saw
patio here.
I saw somebody on there that's look like a couple sharing a couple of darts out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can do the patio. You can be inside. It is a great spot here at Twin Peaks off Kirby. Great food, great drinks. Had the wings. I know you had the smoked wings. Fantastic. You know the beer is always cold. So come on out and have a good time and hang out with us. Again, this is that type of day, Clint, where you need to be, as you say, it's a smart move to be at a bar with people enjoying action.
Yeah, you just got so many games going on, especially if you're a betting man or woman, but you got so many games going on that you need, even if you're Sean Pendergast, you got three TVs on your wall, you still don't have enough. I mean, there's just so many games going on, and the cool part about it is, look, I'll be honest with you, unless I'm betting on it, I really don't give a rip about the majority of these games, but when a game, which multiple do, even that damn McNeese and Clemson game that got tight down the stretch, like at the very end, the last 3 or 4 minutes of a game, if any of the game at that moment in time is close, it's, you know, usually you can catch it right there, and there's some kind of emotion in the room because somebody's got, yep, somebody's got a bet rolling. And so it's just
everybody,
it's a cool vibe.
And everybody just wants to see the finish, like the crazy
sure,
finish.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Everybody wondered, oh, that, you know, that deal of it all. I don't know about you, my bracket's been looking pretty good. I've got one. I haven't missed anything yet, but I feel like, yes, I am going to miss. I think this is good for you, though. BYU, they're up 70-56 on VCU. I had VCU in that game. That's the only one that I have missed thus far, which is not only good for the bracket, but good for the bet right now. Maybe we both needed McNeese State. You needed them to win outright. I needed them to cover. I needed them to win outright for my bracket. They did all of them. They were up big, and Clemson just fell short down by two in that game. But they get a big dub. You're in a good spot right now. You got Gonzaga. You need them to win outright. They're up 22 in the second half right now. So you're in a good spot there. So a lot happening. By the way, we're going to try to make some money. If you have rolled with us, and you did last year, and you've been listening to us the last day or so, you know we got a chance to be able to try to buy you guys some drinks. Drinks on the drive, as we do it every year. And we pick a parlay. We got a four-game parlay. We've won the first leg with McNee as they beat Clemson. We needed them to they were 7.5-point dogs. They won outright. Next up is Missouri versus Drake. We need Missouri to cover that 6.5. Next up, and after that, Utah State, UCLA, as we need Utah State to cover in that one. They are 5.5-point underdogs. And then UC San Diego and Michigan. We need Michigan to cover their 2.5-point favorites in that game. And if we can get those next three to come together, drinks on the drive. I believe in this thing now.
Drinks on the drive, not on your drive, by the way. Drinks on the drive, the show here. So we're not encouraging anybody to make any mistakes out there.
I don't want that. Don't put that on old show. That ain't on me. Hey, and big games coming up. See some Aggie fans in here. I think Tyler might fall up in here, but the Aggies, they play Yale coming up at 6:25. You can watch that right here and
gig them.
And the Kansas Jayhawks will face Clint Sterner's Arkansas Razorbacks. Last time these two teams faced in the tournament, Arkansas won.
I
love Arkansas.
Well, last time we played y'all this year during the season,
It was an exhibition.
We beat Taylor.
You guys not playing.
Last time we played y'all in a bowl game, beat Taylor out of y'all. Yeah. I mean, it just becomes – I mean, I don't know why anybody take anything anybody other than Arkansas in that game.
Okay. Yeah, listen. I hate these guys so much that they're not even. I can't even honestly talk trash like I really want to.
Jayhawks are going down.
I don't believe in them either. I don't believe that they're going to give me anything. I want to.
Ron's team is bad when it steals his ability to talk good trash.
I just can't.
He's in a bad spot, y'all.
I'm in a bad place, man. If you watch him, I just sit there and watch him every game, my leg crossed, just in anger.
In silence.
I like reading your tweets during the games.
Tyler, I hope these Hogs can put you out of your misery. Just go ahead and send them home.
Twitter's the worst thing for me when just hit my fingertips and I get it and I just, because Tyler, you'll see it. I'll send people, just go to hell. Just multiple with that effort, go to hell. Seriously, with that. But hey, it's Bill Self said 0-0, and everybody's undefeated. So we'll see what happens. By the way, news, they'll get going tomorrow. I believe Duke's Cooper Flagg, who had that really that rough ankle roll that had him miss the final two games of the ACC tournament. Duke still was able to hold on to win that thing. They said he is feeling good and is confident after his ankle injury. I find it really amazing. So many people were rolling through, no, he should play the first game. Hold on. How do you know if he's good, he should play?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember, people were doing that with Mahomes, right, as they were going in to play the Texans. Like, if he's good, I just think, hey, man, they're 16th seed. No, if he's good, he should go. And I think he's a very important figure in this tournament. I think he has a chance to be a star of this tournament, depending on how far Duke goes. And this could be a big, big thing for the tournament, the league, the NBA moving forward if he becomes a star in this tournament. And, I mean, he is one of the marquee people I'm intrigued to watch is Cooper Flagg. He's lived up to it. You know how hard it is, Clint, as an athlete to come in, to be hyped the way that he was, and then to live up with it. He might be the player of the year. This is going to be one to watch him, and I'm glad he's able to go and be able to watch him play.
Well, I mean, look, for me, I've constantly heard about him all year long, hadn't caught him much outside of just the happenstance, and so when it comes to sitting down and watching college basketball over an extended period of time, this is my time of year to do it, and he's one of the guys that I would want
Yep.
That I'd want to see for sure.
Yep. All right. So we'll keep you updated here. Clint still looking good with that Gonzaga Georgia game, although Gonzaga is it's now 17, but it's still looking all right there with 13 minutes left as we continue right here live here at Twin Peaks. A little 5 o'clock fire, baby.
Hogs are winners.
5 o'clock fire.
I'm glad she's not really aware of this right now. I feel like Linda would be on my case a little bit more right now. But
I'm gonna come over there and whoop that ass.
Yeah. They probably will today as well. All right, Astros, as they get ready and get themselves getting prepared to start this season against the Mets, they had another one today, Clint, and they beat the Marlins, and they beat them 11-0 in this thing. Big Jake, baby. Big Jake went deep. Big Jake, he had him a good game. Zach DiCenzo had three hits, and it'll be interesting to see how they handle guys like him and Cam Smith, because they've already been reports that those are guys that need to see every day at bats, and I don't think both of them will. So I'd imagine at least one of them will start down in Sugar Land, and so they can get those every day at bats. But Zach's had a pretty good spring, and obviously Cam Smith has been the story of the spring. But those were the big things coming out in terms of adding to that 11-0 today. One person who didn't add to it and really hasn't done much all spring was Yordan. Yordan Alvarez, another 0-for-3. His slash line, by the way, during spring training, 147, 171, 235, with one homer and two RBIs.
Yordan.
Not been great, but nobody, I'm sure, is worried one second about Yordan Alvarez.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, look, I think when you look at Jake Meyers, all joking aside, I mean, it's easy to joke about Jake, and we do plenty of that on here, but the reality of it is, if you want to talk about a guy that could mean a tremendous amount to this organization, if he just swings the bat better. I mean, if there's just some level of confidence in Jake Meyers and he's not an 8 or 9 hole hitter all year long, just some level of improvement, some confidence, getting in some rhythm that's not just a 2 or 3 week run where he gets hot, like just if he takes that next step and becomes a more confident hitter at the plate, man. I mean, that would go a long way for this organization, man. That would be big. So, seeing him do well in spring training, which he has done well this in spring training overall, gives you a little hope that he's going to turn that corner.
And all honesty, if he can just find one thing offensively. Clint, that he does above average. And he plays his bronze glove defense.
Yeah.
Like if it's power, like if he can find a way to run into 18 to 20, if it's just having a knack like Dubon to get hits with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
If it's getting on the bases and he becomes a part of a running game and he steals, but if he can just find one thing. Offensively, walks, yep. Something, one thing that he does above average, and then he plays his defense, running down everything, which when you're looking at who could be on the corners with him, that could be a really big deal of him running down things. I think that's probably enough from him. No, and again, as I said, nobody's really worried about Yordan Alvarez. I think he'll hit.
Yeah, Yordan will be fine. On the Yordan Alvarez front, it's just good to see he's back in the lineup after jamming that little finger in BP a couple days ago and being sidelined. He ain't worried about that. Just get back in there and swing that bat, and if it feels good, we'll call it a day.
Yeah, do your thing. All right. The Astros, 11-0 W today. Nobody really of note. Josh Hader pitched. He went a little over an inning, had two strikeouts, three walks. But didn't give him any runs. Actually had the win today, so they continue to roll through here as the Astros getting closer and closer to this thing getting started.
5 o'clock fire.
That's not going to count, and the Rockets win again. They sweep the Magic. Now 8 straight wins for the Houston Rockets. 6 guys in double figures, and a terrific night at the line for Houston. 29 of 32 as a team. Made a ton of free throws down the stretch to salt away this victory.
That's right, they did. Jalen Green, their two top guys led them last night. Jalen Green had 26 and 7 rebounds. in a very, if this makes sense, easy 27. Just one word. It didn't seem like he worked like hell to get to it. Sengun 22-12. I don't know, Tyler. I knew you were flirting with it. Did he get them assists that you needed?
Oh, Alpi?
Yeah.
Nah, he was one of the two bets I did not hit last night.
I was wondering if he got. I know he was flirting with it.
He finished with four, so it was the hook that got me.
Yeah. He had four. I was going to say, because I know he was hooking Tyre Eason up a lot on some of his baskets. He also, Eason had 16-9 with five steals. They look pretty good. Slow start yesterday, but looked good, and then had complete control of that game. I'm telling you, man, the closer we get to the postseason and the playoffs, Clint, Jalen Green, to see what he does in the playoffs is something I cannot wait to watch. Because I know it seems like he can't wait for that moment, and he can't. And I think he's going to be aggressive. I don't think he's going to be passive. And I am really interested to see what that looks like from Jalen Green.
Yeah, look, I agree with you, man. I think it's almost like that for me watching. It's almost like that next step for him is to do it on a bigger level, right? It's like you've watched a guy mature, develop. You watch Ime Udoka push him, leave him in the game when the other guys aren't in the game. And ask him what I would think is becoming more of a floor general, if that will. Maybe a little strong, but more of a manager of what the hell is going on, a manager of the situation, a better situational player.
He said he's kind of getting kind of helping Fred get the rust off, and he's put some more responsibility on him.
Yeah, so that, you know, and it seems like, I mean, you'd know more than anybody, you watch it more than anybody, but I mean, it seems like he's handling that pretty maturely. It seems like he's handling that in a positive way.
Really good of late here.
Like, the next step is to do it on a bigger stage. The next step is to do it in a game that means, you know, win or go home type of situation. And so, yeah, man, I'm with you. It's going to be fun to watch that dude play in the playoff setting.
Yeah, he's going to try to dunk on people. He going to do everything he can, which will be entertaining as hell to watch. By the way, also a missing piece they've had the last couple of weeks is last couple of games is Amen Thompson. He is listed as probable, Clint, to return tomorrow, as they're in that Florida swing. Now this is one of them NBA trips. This is the NBA trip that many people have concern about. It is the NBA trip that means you go play in Orlando. Then the next night you have off, and then you play Miami. Some people don't get as in much trouble when it's a back-to-back. But when you play Orlando, next day off, and that next day off, your day off's in South Beach. Yee. Then they call that South Beach. Hopefully the fellas are able to have a good time.
Yeah,
but not lose their mind, though. So, but Amen Thompson should be ready to go Friday night, and they'll get him back after he's missed a couple, which is big for him to see him there. All right, as we continue live here at Twin Peaks, right here off Kirby. Come on out, have a good time. You still got a chance to win a $50 gift card as well. So come on out and put your name in our raffle barrel and hang out with us. Coming up, Greg Cosell had something to say about a specific position group that I think is going to be under a lot of scrutiny this year. We'll discuss that next.
Live from Twin Peaks at Kirby and 59, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Shout out to the text line. A reminder that will be Tyler Hero versus Amen Thompson, won't that, tomorrow? That will be the return.
Ragdoll time.
The return. I forgot that. Amen, man, don't get yourself suspended, man. Hey, man, just go out there and play some good physical basketball, man. Don't get, because Tyler Hero does appear to be a guy that will try to goat somebody. He has that annoying. He seems like an annoying fella. That may try to whisper, you know, and try to goat somebody into somebody. I know that type of person.
He strikes me as the mind, do you?
I could do it.
Yeah, I feel like
I think so. You know yourself real well.
I can do it.
He strikes me as a guy that would do that unless it's somebody he's already done it with and he got body slammed.
You feel like he's got a filter to stop?
No, called an ass whooping.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't think. I think there's once a dog bites, I don't think he's gonna mess with that dog.
We'll see.
Tyler don't strike me as a guy that's gonna mess with a dude that he knows is gonna body slam.
Look like he might walk up and just smile at him and just take his chances. Yeah. We'll see. That'll be that. Cause especially at the way you remember at the end, he said, "Man, if I was in there getting my ass beat like that, man, I probably want to swing." Try to throw somebody down too. Like you're right, push it in. That'll be a fun watch tomorrow. All right. Again, we're live here at Twin Peaks. Come join us as we're having a good time and join the rest of the way through, man. If you're looking for a spot to settle in and watch the greatest, for me personally, the greatest sports day of the year with all these games all over the place, TVs all over the place, great staff all over the place, great food, great drinks, bring your ass here. Twin Peaks right here off of Kirby, and you can inside outside do your thing. But while we're here, Clint, Greg Cosell spoke about the importance of not just the top receiver that many people look at, but what else comes behind him, particularly the number two receiver. This is what he had to say, and this could pertain, not could, this will pertain to the Houston Texans.
I think it's absolutely critical because with the way defenses play now, with a lot more split safety, it becomes easier to bracket, double, whatever term you want to use, a number one receiver without just within the context of your defensive structure. So now you think of it this way. It is always possible to double two receivers if you want to. Obviously, that changes your whole defensive feel and how you do other things. But teams don't really do that. So they'll try to double one in specific situations.
Is this a deal, Clint, that I know, you know, I think where this came about was from T. Higgins and the situation they had. But is this a thing of what do you have available around that number one receiver? Like, what do you have available that you can take advantage of when teams are covered? Not just necessarily two, but what? Because sometimes we get so, all right, you got T. Higgins on the other side, but sometimes it doesn't have to be just, you know, T. Higgins or Alvin Harper back in the day or whatever great number twos, Chris Godwin. Sometimes, right, it's just what's the combination that you have that can take advantage of coverage that is so much swung, not just coverage, but saying, hell no, I'm taking Nico Collins out of the game. I'm taking Tyreek Hill. I'm taking Justin Jefferson out of the game, and you figure something else out with it.
Well, I think that's what this conversation, as it relates to the Houston Texans, that's what this conversation is about, right? Is if they're running the football well, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
Right. If you're playing a defense that doesn't have the ability or the willingness to double Nico and take Nico out of the game, it doesn't matter. If you're playing in a game where your defense is lights out and all you got to do is score 14 or 17 to win, it doesn't matter. Right. But my thought with this particular conversation with the Texans is I'm just a firm believer in the defense can be as great as they could possibly be. And we may run the football, you know, at about an average NFL level. The Houston Texans season is going to be dictated. The level of success is going to be dictated by C.J. Stroud's ability to sit in the pocket and pick defenses apart. And when those situations arise, when you get into situations where you can't run the football, when you get into situations where there's defenses that have either the ability to double Nico and take him out of the game schematically, or they have two corners where they can lock guys down, right? In those games, C.J. Stroud is going to have to win the game.
Yeah.
That's just who C.J. Stroud is. This isn't some scheme where Jalen Hurts and the run game and you know that kind of thing is gonna, like this is the weight of the world is going to be on C.J. Stroud's shoulders in those moments. And those moments are going to dictate whether you're a division winner, 10-game winner, second-round playoff team, or you're a real threat to win a Super Bowl. And in those moments, I thought that's where we were at as a Texans team, by the way. In those moments, I just don't think Christian Kirk is going to be enough. In those moments, you're going to need somebody other than a twitchy slot guy to go win. You're going to need it in a big way. And it's not John Metchie, and it's not Xavier Hutchinson, obviously. That to me, that's where we're at with the Texans. Now, it could be worse. It could be worse, and Christian Kirk isn't the guy that we saw 2 years ago in Jacksonville, and now you've got bigger problems, right? Yeah. But I'm saying best-case scenario, when you've got defenses that can do those things, is Christian Kirk at number two going to be enough? Just as a winning wide receiver, is he going to be enough to give C.J. Stroud options? I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah, and I don't think so, that he's just enough. But I do think that he is a start to putting, you know, other things that could be enough, right? Like, I do think, like, if you have Christian Kirk in the slot and another guy who can beat single coverage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and that guy, as you know, Clint, it could be a tight end. It could be, like, it could be a lot of different things. Yeah. It is just, what can you, if they are going to, because there's a difference, right? There's a difference between I'm swinging coverage to Nico to I'm just going to take Nico away from you. I'm going to just put somebody over there and take him away. And then can the other guys win those one-on-one matchups? And you got to have those guys to do it. Now, I'm with you on that. I think Christian Kirk could win a one-on-one matchup, but I don't know if Christian Kirk will get a chance to get just a one-on-one matchup if Xavier Hutchinson's on the outside, because I think I would still shadow and watch him.
Yeah.
Right? And have something shadow. Like, if they got somebody on the outside, another person that takes where you're like, all right, man, I've got to play honest. I've got to play honest because these two guys can both beat single cover. That's to me, and I think a lot of teams kind of deal with that. And I think also a big thing is more the unknown of, well, what does Nick Caley do when teams just try to take a Nico Collins away? Like, what is his mindset of trying to get these guys involved?
That's a good way to look at it. Like, the whatever they do at that number two receiver, or let's just say the third receiver, in the top three receivers on his team, the third one, whoever that is, he's not here yet, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Whatever caliber receiver that guy is going to determine how much pressure is truly on Nick Caley. Because if it's just, like I've mentioned, just a speed guy, or, you know, if it's not a dynamic playmaker that can run the route tree and create separation, then outside of Nico Collins, you're going to have to get real creative to create the opportunities that we're talking about in the past.
Yeah, if it's Nico Collins, we'll take him away, and then you've got Christian Kirk and Robert Woods on the other side of it. Like, that's a different thing.
I mean, you're banking on guys like, can Joe Mixon be a threat in that moment? Can Dalton Schultz do better than what he did last year in those moments? And John Metchie, can he take the next step? And is Christian Kirk enough? You know, there's just, again, for me with the Texans, I'm in, let's go win a damn championship. I'm not in, let's fill voids and let's hope it works. Let's do more with less. I'm in, let's go win a damn championship.
Yeah,
and that's right now. They need another wide receiver and a good one to convince me of that.
Yeah. All right. Coming up as we continue right here, a little tournament update. We'll let you know where things are and where we are on the parlay life, as things are looking pretty good right now. And CFT Mill can make you some money now, and I'd imagine he is going off. He's probably already made some people some money today. T-Mill's Best Bets coming up next.
This is Drive Time, isn't it, back in Houston.
Live from Twin Peaks at Kirby and 59, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here. Twin Peaks here. Right off Kirby, come on out, have a good time.
The Drive is live.
It is live, and it's going to be live all night here. Shout out to Dan Denny, who just walked in the building, man. Telling you, dog. Telling you, man, go see that man. You'll see that, man. I can see about six or seven of y'all who's struggling with ED in here right now and need to go on into the men's clinic and quit playing around with it. It's that special they got $2.99 right now, baby.
Literally and figuratively. Literally
quit playing around with it.
Before we get to that boner.
Yeah, let's get to that boner right
there,
man.
That's what Big Dan's trying to get you, help you out and get you there.
That's right, man. I'm telling you. That guy right there just sitting next to Dan. Maybe this is an introduction in life right now, sir, that you didn't know you needed. Talk to that man right now. Right now, please, that lady at home. All right, as we continue here, coming up behind us, our guy, man, Wade Smith. He's going to be on Texans All Access tonight with Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. So if you're riding around, that's right, Wade Smith. He'll give his thoughts. He'll be on with the fellas. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up. And then after that, full coverage of March Madness as it will continue right here, courtesy of the good people at Westwood One. You can listen to that coming up after Texans All Access, 7 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. And T-Mill's Best Bets, we're going to try to win a little cash, win a little money right now. And how you doing? How you doing right now in your parlays? You got a personal one, right? You said it should be ending. You should have it in.
I'm three for three, Tennessee tips in at 550 in 6 minutes, and it's a first half bet.
This is three for three. So what do you need to happen in the first half?
I need them to be up at half.
They just got to have the lead?
Just got to have the lead at half.
That seems easy.
That'd be messed up, man, if these Volunteers are the ones that leave
it. It wouldn't be the first time they broke it off.
I know.
Hey, can you do that for a parlay? Can you pick games and just say, I need all five of these teams to have the lead at the half?
Yes. Yeah, money line.
You sure enough can.
Just for the half, huh? So somebody could have done that with all the one seeds and just said, hey, I'm going to have all the one seeds have this lead before the
half. Yeah, but the odds are insanely bad.
I know, but I mean, but that's, hell, man, that sounds like an easy $50 I could win. Nah, that's all right. Let me stay away from
it. I mean, it seems like an easy one until you would have bet that Clemson game, that higher seed in that Clemson game.
And no,
you meant literally the
ones. I'm saying all the one seeds.
Oh, yeah,
I'm just saying, yeah, Houston, Auburn, Florida, and just, hey, all right, they just had the lead.
Yeah, the only problem with that is
I'm sure the odds are nothing.
Well, yeah, you're betting like this. I bet money lines, and there was probably a $400 or $500 difference if I would have took the lines instead. So if you'd have bet all the one seeds, they'd have been double digit favorites. Your $100 probably would have won you $250. Maybe. I don't even know if it was that. T, what do you think?
Something like that. With those one seeds and the odds and how crazy they are on those money lines, it'd be something like that. But Ron, I think you should pick one of my best bets here in a little bit whenever we do that. And you should have me put some money down for you tonight.
No, I've already got money in it now. I already got money in it for the people.
He got $33.33 in it, baby.
That's fair.
I had to budget that out at the start of month. March is my $33.30.
Hold on, Joe.
That I got to get out.
Attack out of that there. Ass.
Yeah, that's right. You got to attack that ass. So, yeah, we're 1-0 right now. We're in need again. If you missed it, if you're not been with us, you got a chance. You're invested in this as well. And we did this last year. We did it. We pick a day. We pick a parlay. Last year we hit one, and drinks are on the drive. Not for you to drive, but drinks are on the show, the drive. Last year we came to this. Yep, last year we came to this in Twin Peaks, and we just bought up drinks for everybody that came out and listened. And
had us a nice little evening on that patio out there, didn't we?
We did. Had a good time out there, and we was betting again that night and almost won. Yeah, man, come on out, have a good time. McNeese, who already beat Clemson, that was a one for us, and now the games we'll be watching is Missouri Drake. We need Missouri to go ahead and cover that. 6.5. Also, Utah State versus UCLA. They are underdogs. 5.5. Need them to cover that. And then Michigan. They are favorites. 2.5-point favorites over UC San Diego. Michigan just ran through and won the Big Ten tournament. Beat all those teams and only a 2.5-point favorite. They already got a low seed to begin with. So that's what we're watching and looking for tonight as things get rolling. All right. I know he just got a new extension, And who I'm meeting is Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
You got two really good ends right now. Will Anderson had 11 sacks last year, and he missed a few games. Danielle had 12, and as I said earlier, was a top 10 finisher in Defensive Player of the Year award. Who do you expect to have the better year next year? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch can jump in. Will, Danielle Hunter, who do you expect to have the better year next year? Because they were pretty close. I would say that Danielle had the better year last year. And one could say that's just because he was healthier and he didn't miss as many games.
Yeah.
Now, Will was great in the postseason, especially the last game against the Chiefs, where he had a couple of sacks in that game and some TFLs. But who do you get the sense as? Do you get the sense that Will breaks out past Danielle Hunter next year?
No, I mean, bro, we're splitting hairs, really. I mean, you're talking about the only tandem, the only edge-rushing tandem that was in the top, what was it, six or eight last year?
Yeah, I think the only ones who had double-digit sacks.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, it's – and stylistically, they're really the same guy. I mean, extremely high motors. I mean, as physical as anybody on the field. I guess I would probably go Will Anderson, because I think Will Anderson, when it comes to just physicality every snap, maybe he's not the wily veteran that knows how to reserve himself a bit.
Bad MF-er.
I would probably go Will, just simply because I think he probably plays the run a little different, a little better.
Especially if he took – I expected Will to take a jump last year.
Yeah.
I think he took maybe even a bigger jump than I thought. Like, he just had more tools in his box in terms of rushing the pass.
I agree.
If he takes another step, because, listen, Danielle Hunter is great, but you probably feel like we may have a reached the ceiling on Danielle Hunter, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like, he could have, 16, 17 like he had prior, but you would assume just after 2 years there's another level for Will to take, right? Like, maybe this is off the little catch you off guard a bit, but who do you think teams are looking at game plan against first? Do you think it's Will?
Yep. Yeah, I do. I think in pass rushing situations, I think it's. I mean, again, take your pick, whatever the hell you want. And
maybe it is just honest, straight up.
And to your point. I bet if we're just talking like technically, Danielle Hunter's probably significantly better than Will Anderson and more dangerous than Will Anderson in a pass rush situation. But when it comes to just all out go and power and disruptiveness in a pass rush, I think Will equals him. And then that chaos that he creates versus the run, I would go with Will. I bet it's pretty convincing. Now, if you're just talking pass rushing and pressuring a quarterback, I think Danielle wins that. But if you're talking overall,
OCs are saying, all right, 51, this is who we.
Yeah, 51's more of a problem. They're both a problem. Now, you got your hands full, obviously. But yeah, I would think 51 is more of a problem. Probably viewed by other offensive coordinators around the league, I bet you it's 51.
Combination is a problem.
As tough as you going to game plan for in the league.
Yeah, right when you see him. All right, as we said coming up, Wade Smith will join Texans All Access. That's right when we get done. And then wall-to-wall coverage of March Madness, courtesy of Westwood One, follows Texans All Access. All right, Tyler, let's win some money, man. We obviously, as a show, is trying to win some money. Let's win some money here, NCAA tournament style, I'm sure.
Hell yeah, March Madness taking over Best Bets today, and it's been a successful week, as Ron was kind of hinting at there. If you've been tailing these bets, you got money in your pocket. I got 5 bets for you. None of them have tipped off yet. They're not going to until we sign off. No, here are your 5 March.
Right now, get that money now. Get in there.
Yeah, they have.
Here we go.
Is this right that I'm looking at, T? McNeese State and Clemson have already played.
Oh, I had a different one, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're right, though. I misspoke. Anyway, Kansas first half money line against Clint's Razorbacks.
Oh, Lord.
Kind of rough odds, but I think they're going to come out hot. I like it. Texas A&M -6.5 versus Yale. I teased that down. I believe the line's actually closer to 7.5, 8. Then I got Arkansas, Kansas. Back to that game. I'm on the under. Under 146. As Clint said, this McNeese game already happened, so I got four best bets for you. And then Drake, Mizzou, over 132. Is that game in action right now?
No, they go around 7.
Okay, cool.
I like
your,
the.
How about that? Your McNeese State bet hit by 1 point.
Yep, let's go. So we're one for one.
Luckily for that lay-in, they're late. They got a layup at the buzzer too to make the thing in. Drake, Mizzou, love the over on that. Mizzou is a high-scoring team, and Drake will probably, just with the pace, score more than they normally do. I wouldn't touch Kansas, Arkansas at all, and I think it's because I'm too close. The under part, actually, I do like. The under with Arkansas, Kansas, I don't know if that one will be a high-scoring game either. So I definitely love the Drake Missouri one. That's
let's get this money, folks.
Kansas over Arkansas, and Arkansas's not going to score points. Let's go, Yale.
Hey, I got Arkansas. Oh, never mind.
No, you don't. You never do. You already said you had Kansas winning that game. I see somebody over there in a Yale Bulldog sweater. So
let's go, Yale.
They out here in A&M, so y'all need to get y'all ass out here. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Shout out to everybody who decided to come on, hang out with us. Shout out to our engineer, Matt, our Osita, who is here with our promo staff, everybody to help put this together. I am Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. I want to see what your numbers are with your people.
Talk dirty to me.
But I mean,
what?
Tyler is serious. You talk about gambling, Twin Peaks. This fool's up here talking about talk dirty to me.
Gonzaga in Tennessee first half. Book it, T.
All of those first half?
No, the first three of the games, the Tennessee's first half.
This guy right here, man. I mean, this
somebody's
is
grumpy today.
Hey, I'm not. I'm sitting here smiling my ass off. What am I?
Somebody is really. Somebody. I mean, he is. This is.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.